The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
An audit of children's hip surgeries at a number of hospitals was published today. The audit found that a lower threshold was used to decide on surgery, the need for surgery, at two hospitals, at Temple Street and Kappa. For more on this, I'm joined by Shauna Bowers, health correspondent with the Irish Times. Shauna, for people who haven't been able to pore over the report in any detail, what exactly does it tell us?
Yeah, so this report has come on foot of a protected disclosure that was made to Children's Health Ireland, which is the body that runs paediatric healthcare in the state. And it's around concerns about the a surgery for developmental dysplasia of the hip. So it looked at the threshold that three hospitals used before conducting these surgeries on children. So the three hospitals are Temple Street, Crumlin, and National Orthopaedic Hospital in Kappa. And so what the audit found is that Crumlin's hospital, they kind of kept in line with international criteria. Most of their surgeries were warranted. They did 63 surgeries over a three-year period were looked at in the audit, and only one of those didn't meet the clinical criteria. Concerns are really around Temple Street and Kappa Hospital. So in Temple Street, 85 surgeries were examined in the audit, but 51 did not meet the clinical criteria, which means 60% of those were unnecessary. And then in Kappa Hospital, 70 surgeries were audited, of which 55 did not meet the criteria. So that means almost 80%, 79% were unnecessary in that hospital.
So when we say an unnecessary surgery, how invasive were these surgeries and what impact were they having on the kids? What were they doing?
Well, look, any surgery, particularly on a child, these are young children as well, we must remember. So the audit looked at children age 1 to 7. Like, I know any child who even gets a cough, you know, they're knocked for sick. Yeah. So like these are invasive, and they're on their pelvis. So they're pelvis surgeries. So, of course, it's going to, you know, affect their movement and things like that. And we need to remember that children are boisterous. They love to get out and about. So if they're suddenly having to recover in bed and things like that, and they can't understand why, of course it's going to have an impact on them. I spoke to one family recently, and her son underwent surgery on one of his hips, and she has found out now that the surgery wasn't necessary, but she vividly remembers that child post-surgery, because he has special needs and he's nonverbal, so he couldn't tell his parents that he needed to use the bathroom. And so he's trying to crawl across the floor to the bathroom because he doesn't know what's happened to him. He can't, express his needs to his parents. So I don't think we can underestimate the effect that this would have on individual children, but also the parents themselves.
Yeah, we're going to be speaking to some of those families impacted later in the show as well. Did the report look into the reason that the practice in Kappa and in Temple Street was so far out of line with international best practice?
So this is actually kind of one of the key questions that I think emerges from the audit. You know, the auditor says that there is variation on thresholds and different surgeons do recommend surgery at different levels, kind of internationally and here in Ireland. And that's just kind of how assessments on risk benefit analysis work. But what he identified was that the variance identified between Crumlin Hospital and the other two cannot, quote, be accounted for by measurement error or observer variability alone. So basically, we're not 100% sure what the reasoning was. He believes further inquiry is mandated as a consequence of that.
Yeah, because I have to say, that's the thing that stands out to me in this. Yeah, you will well know, being so used to this type of thing, that we love reports that talk about kind of systems failures or broad cultures that in this country. But unusually in this case, we've got an example of a hospital doing it well, and a few kilometres away, literally a few kilometres away, two other hospitals where the practice is completely different. And it raises an awful lot of questions about how those decisions are made. And I think it's important to make that point and to reiterate at the point you make that, you know, if you and I are surgeons, one person might kind of have a slightly more risk-averse attitude than the other, and that allows for kind of a slight variability, or we subscribe to maybe different surgical practices or whatever, or it's a reflection of our training or our age or when we trained, whatever it happens to be, it's never going to be the exact same in two different hospitals under two different surgeons. But there's no explanation here as to why they're so different.
That's particularly what Children Health Ireland have come to say now. You know, that's kind of a relatively new body, so all paediatric healthcare will be under that, is technically under that umbrella, but come the opening of the new hospital will be more officially in standing. And what they kind of emphasise is they want a situation where a child can go to any of their hospitals and receive the same level of standard of care, because it's unacceptable to be able to go to one and receive X and go to another and not receive that, you know.
And I guess the other point to make, and you touched on it there as well, Shauna, when you talked about that family, is anybody who's been through this, and we had a daughter with, as we said, a kind of a dicky hip when she was younger, and she just had to wear the brace for a little while and everything was all right. And so we're the lucky ones. Had we been told, we were in Temple Street, had we been told she needed surgery, we weren't going to go off and get another opinion. You know, you absolutely accept at face value what the surgeon in front of you is telling you.
I think we put a lot of trust in our doctors and clinicians in Ireland. There's a huge trust in the healthcare system. But for those parents, because I'm sure there are thousands of them who are really stressed and anxious, there are now systems in place for them to contact CHI and HSE to get answers about the care provided to their children. So there's a free phone number, but there's also going to be follow-up clinic appointments to all patients who are treated since 2010. And I think it would be wise for those families to take up those clinics to get some answers, to find out whether their surgeries were necessary or if they weren't.
And how many are we talking about? How wide a review is going to happen on foot of this?
So CHI and Kappa Hospital sent out letters to just under 2,200 patients who had received surgery since 2010. Now, that doesn't mean all of those had unnecessary surgeries or anything like that, but I think they're just broadening the scope because the HSE is aware, look, if in those 3 years there was this many families affected, then it would be obtuse to not examine the potential that other families could be affected too.
Shauna Bowers, health correspondent with the Irish Times. Shauna, thank you for joining us.
No worries.
Marie Sherlock is with us as well, the Labour Party TD and the party spokesperson on health. Marie, what was your reaction when you read the detail of this report, in particular the difference in outcome, that surgical outcome, or rather the decision to carry out surgery in Kappa and Temple Street compared to Crumlin?
Well, I think reading the report today painted a distressing picture of ultimately a lack of clinic of proper clinical oversight, incomplete parental consent, poor record keeping, very poor follow up, and of course methodologies that were deemed ultimately unreasonable to the expert reviewer, and indeed, you know, a mistake was identified as well amongst what was a small number in the sample that was looked at by the reviewer, the expert reviewer. And of course, there's huge concern now for the 2,200 children who were operated on since 2010. So ultimately, I suppose, a very distressing picture of, you know, the orthopaedic procedures in the two hospitals in both Kappa and in Temple Street, and an abject failure on the part of, you know, clinical governance, really, as I would see it, within both hospitals in terms of overseeing those procedures.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff in here really stands out as glaring, and not just the difference between those two hospitals in Crumlin, but also, you know, surgeries conducted on children with no prior hip dysplasia diagnosis or signs of dislocation, some of the justifications for surgery not supported by evidence, and as you say, a lack of consent as well. I mean, it is echoes of the whole cervical check thing there as well. You know, doctor knows best.
Yeah. And look, ultimately, you know, you pointed there that, you know, there was, I think the expert reviewer spoke about the dated evidence-based surgical decisions that were made and ultimately decisions that did not meet, I suppose, you know, international standard practice with regards to this type of surgery. Look, ultimately, I think this, you know, is a terrible day for both Temple Street and Kappa, and I'm very conscious in saying that there is staff there, you know, who are doing wonderful work day in, day out. But I suppose to the families now who you know, are walking around still unclear as to whether the surgery on their child was necessary or not. And look, I welcome, like, you know, obviously there's a hotline in place now. People won't be able to get access to information specific to their own case on that hotline, but they'll be signposted, I suppose. But ultimately, what needs to happen as soon as possible is that external independent review of each of the cases. And obviously it's going to be an opt-in system. And I suppose that the hope is that all those families who are desperately concerned will bring themselves forward. But time is of the essence now. Families have been dealing with this alarm for far, far too long. And I suppose I made the point as well today that there may well be children older than the age of 15. And of course, you know, that I suppose the point repeatedly had been made that it's up to musculoskeletal maturity, or indeed the age of which children age out of the paediatric hospital system. But there may well be 17 or 18 year olds as well who may have concerns, you know, so surgery predating 2010. And I think they need to be included in the review as well.
The other thing that's not included in this review today, because it wasn't part of the terms of reference, is how we know about all this in the first place. We know about it because of a protected disclosure. And we see that in so many other walks of life, be it something as serious as this or as kind of, you know, trivial in comparison, but serious nonetheless in its own right, the cost of a bike shed outside Leinster House. I mean, there's a question mark over transparency in this state, isn't it? And how easy it is for people to get access to information.
Yeah, well, I think that's the distressing, that, you know, one of the most distressing parts of today, that like is, and we would have known none of this. And indeed, the practices could have continued. And we don't know, obviously, but they could
have. And Marie, what other stuff has happened that we don't know about? Because there's never been a protected disclosure.
Yeah. And look, I suppose this is the balance as well. We have to, any of your listeners, who've gone through surgical procedures may well be having all sorts of questions now, as I think all of us are. But I suppose this is where, you know, having confidence in our doctors and our clinicians and all our staff within the hospitals is critically important. And that's why we need to get these oversight procedures, right. And Children's Hospital Ireland has been there for, you know, a period of years now at this stage. And to think that there is different clinical governance guidelines across the three hospitals, shambolic, to be frank about it. And I suppose this is the lesson that we saw from the report into the unauthorized use of coils and spinal surgeries. And of course, we still have to have more reviews to come out into CHI. So look, it paints a very grim picture. And I suppose, you know, unfortunately, there is a lot of good work being done on the ground, but there are very serious answers now. And I suppose we had been calling earlier today for statements in the Dáil next Tuesday. That will now happen, because ultimately we're still not clear as to the motivation, and we're still not clear as to, you know, was it how many surgeons? And we don't want to get into a witch hunt here, but we also need to be clear. Yeah. We need to have accountability, and that's the crucial thing.
We're going to come back to this after 5 o'clock. We're going to speak to some of the families impacted. We've a text in here from somebody in that camp. I contacted the HSE helpline number that was provided by the HSE today for hip surgery audit families. Staff on the line say they couldn't answer any of my questions because they haven't been briefed yet, and they're going to be briefed later, and told me to call back. I mean, what is the point in giving people a helpline number if you haven't briefed the people answering the phone? Anyway, hopefully they will get briefed in the not too distant future and they will be able to answer your questions. 087 1400 106 if you too want to get in touch with us here on the show. Marie Sherlock is the Labour Party TD and the party spokesperson on health, and Shauna Bowers is the health correspondent with the Irish Times. We spoke to Shauna as well a few moments ago. We're going to return our attention to the report published today by Children's Health Ireland and by Kappa Hospital on the hip dysplasia surgeries carried out. So just to catch people up, what they found essentially is that a number of surgeries that they looked at as part of this audit may never have been necessary. Crumlin Children's Hospital showed excellent adherence to clinical and radiological criteria, the report says. 98% of surgeries deemed appropriate. In contrast, in Temple Street and Kappa, wait to hear this, only 40% and 21% of cases respectively met the criteria, suggesting a significant number of potentially unnecessary surgeries. There's a lot more in the report. There's issues around consent, about what parents knew, about the type of procedures that were carried out, and about the follow-up care, or rather the lack of follow-up care after only a year, a lot of patients discharged. So we'll get into some of that in a moment. David Cullinan is with me in studio, the Sinn Féin spokesperson on health. But Elaine Flanagan is on the line. Elaine is the mother of Harlow, who underwent surgery. Elaine, you're very welcome to the show. Thanks a million for chatting to us.
Thank you.
So can you talk us through what happened with Harlow?
So when she started to walk, I noticed that she was a bit unsteady on her feet. She kind of like would bump into walls and, you know, trip over a lot. So on her right foot, it was turned in slightly. So I brought her to the GP and just voiced my concerns, you know, over having so many bumps and trips and falls and stuff like that. So he sent her for an x-ray. So we went to one of the hospitals, got her x-ray, and then on the radiologist report, it said that both of her hips were off by 1 millimetre on both sides and needed just an orthopaedic input. So we went to see the orthopaedic consultant, and he basically said that, you know, she needed to have this surgery where they remove bone from the pelvis and connect it to both of her sockets over on her hips. So myself and my husband obviously were very shocked by this, because we initially just thought there was a problem with one of her feet, or right foot in particular. So the surgeon had said it was a coincidental find, and he didn't believe it was related to the foot issue, or maybe when the hips are corrected, the foot will correct itself. So based on the information that, you know, the consultant gave us, we went ahead and had the surgery. So the foot never corrected itself anyways in respect of the operation. So I did voice my concerns at a 4-week follow-up appointment.
Mm.
And he said, you know, it's too early to assess, because she was quite limpy and, you know, learning to walk again with the hips being done and stuff like that. So he said he'd reassess again at 6 months. And then at 6 months, he said it was unrelated and he wasn't worried and the hips should correct themselves. So he discharged her then from his care at 6 months post-op, and we haven't heard since, other than a letter about the audit that came up then.
So tell me then about what you've learned kind of consequently or you know, after the fact, about the necessity of that surgery.
So after the fact, I requested her medical charts and I had to read through them myself. And, you know, I've got a second opinion on them also, and I was actually quite shocked and surprised by the clinical findings. You know, she met all her developmental milestones. She didn't have any, you know, related hip issues. Like, on examination, everything was normal. The x-ray was essentially normal. It was just off by 1 millimetre on both sides. She didn't have a clicky hip, so she wasn't complaining with pain or anything like that at all, which I actually didn't know at the time. Well, I knew she wasn't complaining of pain or stuff like that, but I didn't know that the foot wasn't related to the hips until after she had the surgery. Then the doctor had said it was unrelated and a coincidental find. So it was quite shocked to see that all of her examinations was normal and her x-rays was essentially normal. And I now know from a second opinion that that's something that should have just been monitored, because she was still growing and developing, that it could have essentially repaired itself. You know, but I suppose I felt like I was, when I read back over the medical chart now, it was a bit of coercion going on, I think, because, you know, it was the doctor had said, because she's a little girl, they like to wear heels, and when she's 30 she might need, you know, 2 full hip replacements. And I don't feel like I got the fully, you know, I wasn't fully informed to make the actual consent, but it's only now that I actually have read her medical chart and got them reassessed that, you know, I was actually really quite shocked by what I seen on her medical chart.
And how's Harlow now?
She's fine, but she appears fine. And to be honest, I don't know, because she hasn't had any follow up x-rays since she's been 6 months post op. So I presume she's okay. You know, she still has the slight torn in her foot. Quite a clumsy child, but doesn't suffer with pain or anything as such in her hips. But as I know now, we need to have more imaging done just to make sure, because according to a second opinion, she could have arthritis where she's had this surgery. And, you know, we don't know, because she hasn't had any follow-up appointments since she's been 6 months post-op from having bone removed from her pelvis and connected to both sockets, you know.
David Cullinan, I mentioned, is with us as well, Sinn Féin. David, I mean, so much of what's in this report is reflected there in Elaine's story. You know, this what it looks like now, unnecessary surgery, very little follow-up. I mean, the things she was told about her infant child, about the desire maybe to wear high heels in several years' time, that kind of beggars belief, doesn't it?
It's actually extraordinary, and you know, it's gone beyond shocking at this point when you look at all of the stories which have emanated from Children's Health Ireland. And this particular story is just, for me, devastating for the parents. So there's 2,200 parents at the moment who, in my view, are very worried and very anxious. Elaine's experience is one that's very similar to many parents I've talked to over the last number of weeks and months. When these letters started to drop, I've spoken to parents who simply could not wait for the HSE or Children's Health Ireland or the government to get their act together. They moved ahead of the government and sought second opinions. In one case, the parent had sent 30 emails to Children's Health Ireland, got no response. She brought her child north to get a second opinion and was told, on foot of getting the medical records, and she had to go through a legal firm to get the medical records, that their child did not need the procedure, and yet the procedure was carried out on both hips. I've spoken to dozens of parents who've got second opinions, some of whom had the surgeries carried out on their children and some who did not. What we now know through this anonymised audit, and it was only an audit covering 2 years and covering only a portion of the children yeah. that had surgery. So it's 147 children. But across the two hospitals that there is a major problem in, Temple Street and in Kappa, it was 157 surgeries that were examined, and 101 of those it found that it fell short of the criteria and it seems were not necessary. That's a shocking amount.
Yeah.
And it's hard to contemplate how many of those 2,200 children who had surgeries carried out, potentially, again, unnecessary, and the trauma that will cause for their families. And what was said to us in the Oireachtas Health Committee briefing that we had, organised by the Minister for Health, but it was one medic was at the meeting, and he made the point that any surgery is an applied injury. Because obviously yeah. it's sore, it's done on purpose, obviously, because on balance doing the surgery is obviously going to repair a problem. But if you have children who are operated on unnecessarily and went through the trauma of a surgery, that is absolutely unforgivable.
And the point as well, David, you don't question it. I said it earlier, we had a clicky hip as one of ours and it was grand. I'm not comparing myself to any of these people because we got away with the brace for a little while and off you went. But the reality is, and we were in Temple Street, if we were told, oh no, she needs surgery, we wouldn't have said, well, we're going to go off to another hospital and get a different opinion. We would have said, absolutely, do what needs to be done.
And what's heartbreaking about all of this is that trust has broken down with many families in Children's Health Ireland. We've had the scandal of children with scoliosis and spina bifida. We had the issue I spoke to you about a number of weeks ago about the springs that were implanted into children, again, against rules, against standard procedures and processes. And the Minister for Health and the government today are saying that they will establish a group, an expert group, that will allow for parents to opt in to have each and every one of the child's scans and their history to be re-examined to establish whether the child needed a procedure. But that expert group is not in place. The terms of reference are not in place. The criteria is not in place. The report has landed today. There's very anxious parents who are obviously looking at the report, listening to programmes like this. And we were told it could take up to 6 months, Kieran, before that process is in place. And this is what I say when I say that the government is not getting ahead of the problem, that in many respects, parents are moving ahead of them, getting a second opinion. Each and every one of those families deserve the answers to the fundamental question that they are asking everybody. And the only question that matters to them, did my child need this procedure? And that has to be answered and can only be answered if the child's scans are reviewed.
1-800-807-050 is the helpline they've set up. Now, somebody got in touch with us earlier to say they phoned the helpline and they were told at the other end that the people answering the phones haven't been briefed yet on what to say. Now, whether that's changed in the meantime, I don't know. But anyway, listen, that's the number for what it's worth. David, a final point I'd make, and it's not featured in the report because it wasn't part of the terms of reference, understandably, but I think it's worth making. The only reason we know about this is because of a protected disclosure. And you have to look at this and on some level ask yourself, how many other skeletons are in the closet?
Well, if you look at Children's Health Ireland, I mentioned the issue of the use of unauthorised springs in children. There is a clinical review ongoing at the moment. It's called an IAGAM review. It's a doctor that's looking at clinical practices. There was very, very serious issues in relation to high rates of return to surgery for children who had spinal procedures, children with scoliosis and spina bifida. Again, very similar to this, it was out of kilter with international best practice. That hasn't concluded yet. And now we have this scandal. So None of this would have been known if the whistleblower or whistleblowers had not come forward. And that's what I mean by a breakdown in trust. I've dealt with advocate groups and parents on these issues for years. And they were telling us, I would say at least, Kieran, for 6 years, that there were serious management issues, governance issues and failures within Children's Health Ireland. They were very, very concerned because parents know, you know, they have an instinct in relation to all of these issues. And yet their concerns fell on deaf ears. There was pushback politically and within CHI. Here we are now with a HICWA report a number of months ago that was damning, that said children were not protected from harm. We have this report today where potentially hundreds, if not over 1,000 children could potentially have been operated on unnecessarily. Other reviews still ongoing. It is devastating because trust is at the heart of our healthcare system. And when trust breaks down, as you said, and I'm a parent of two children, you want to trust medical professionals. And I do.
Yeah.
I trust my doctor. I trust GPs. I trust medical professionals. But that has been severely tested here. And I think that is really, really problematic.
David Cullinan, Sinn Féin spokesperson for Health. David, thanks for coming in to us. Elaine Flanagan, mum of Harlow. Elaine, thank you very, very much for sharing your story with us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.